The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Mick Norton here to guide you through the best of Monday's racing. Racing on Monday comes from Kempton Park, from Plumpton and from Wolverhampton. And we're back over jumps at Kempton, which is nice. A decent card as well from Monday, I think it's fair to say. Not maybe the quantity of runners that we'd like, but still the quality is there. As I said, I'm Alex Dunn. And here's Mick Norton.
Yeah, I groaned a little bit when I saw the card, Alex. But once you get into it, some fascinating small field races that we'll try and pick the bones out of.
Yeah, I mean, eight runners is the most you're going to get at Kempton in any one race. But that's not to say that you can't find value.
Absolutely. The three races we've done have all got their own attraction and, hopefully we can sort them out.
Definitely, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any ridiculously short price favourites either. So,
well, we might give them a swerve anyway.
Okay, fair enough. Talking of short price favourites, should we have a chat about yesterday? The Charlie Hall went to Menora at 8-1, beat Takandasoy 100-30, and Double Ross at 11-1. The disappointment in the race, without question, was Silviniaco Conti, who has run at Weatherby before, enjoyed it. Goes reasonably well fresh. There didn't appear to be a whole lot of excuses for the Nichols charge.
Yeah, he jumped well. He just got left behind, didn't he, when the race started in earnest. No real excuses. Don't know what happened. It was disappointing. He couldn't even hang on for a place, wasn't it? I did the podcast for this, and we sort of did hint that it would be unwise to discount Menora, the way that Wishful Thinking bounced back to form for the banging form Hobbs team at Aintree the week earlier, and lo and behold, he went and did it, didn't he? I went for Tacon de Searle in the race, and I thought he ran a smashing race, considering, Alex, Jonjo Nails only had one winner from his last 40 runners, and they've just sort of gone off the boil a little bit. That was, in the context of that, Tacon de Searle's run a mighty race in his first attempt at excess of 3 miles.
See, that's the thing. They didn't race especially fast. It wasn't a King George, for example, or anything like that. Now, Paul Nichols has said that he thinks Silviniaco Conti will be better when the pace is quicker. Well, do you think Takandasoy was suited by the race, and do you think it's a conclusive test of his stamina, this race?
Well, the time was very quick. It was fast by nearly 5 seconds. So they were hanging about.
Okay.
I just thought, well, one or two of his fences, he was a bit hesitant to Tacon de Searle, as if he was, I don't know, out of his comfort zone or maybe just a bit rusty. That might have just been more like it. But his jumping improved as the race went on, and the pace got, when the race, got strong, his jumping stood the test. I think he's the horse to take out of that, especially the way he came back. He looked like dropping out to about fourth, but he battled back into second. I think that augurs well for his season.
Okay, superb victory from Menora. But
oh, absolutely.
Do you get the impression that that's the best he'll achieve this season?
We'll have to be, like he and Wishful Thinking. I mean, no other good horses. I mean, he's a former, was it a Supreme Novices or
Sunrise? Yeah, Supreme Novices.
Supreme Novices winner. And he's always been a very good horse, hasn't he? Just lost his way a little bit.
He's a bit pessimistic to think that could be the most he can achieve, because he could go on to be, if he fulfills the promise of his hurdling, he could be anything. But, well, you do see the likes of Wishful Thinking, and there's a few in these colours who tend to spring a shock every now and again.
Yeah.
Not as much a shock, but bounce back to old ways, but can't replicate it.
But what it did do for Menora is opened up some new avenues for him, because that's the first time he's won over that far. So, there's There's going to be more opportunities for him, isn't it? Isn't there?
And again, the Hobbs team in absolutely flying form.
Absolutely unbelievable. Yeah.
Okay, so plenty to take out of that one. Road to Riches as well was very impressive over at Down Royal.
He was.
Absolutely annihilated. A really strong field there. The likes of Rocky Creek and Boston Bob back in second and third. Won by 11 lengths, Road to Riches, and was never really asked for that much of an effort by Paul Carberry. Again, a horse that has the potential, but can he go on to bigger and better things, Mick?
I think he can. I mean, his stable are in good form at present, but I know he got a soft lead yesterday, and I think that played his part in his victory, but he still galloped them into submission and jumped them into submission. I think that was the key thing to him. He got taken on in Goran, didn't he? And I think they ended up going off too hard, but that performance in Galway and yesterday stamp him as a very high-class horse. He's only 7 years old, and he looked in a different league to them on Saturday.
Okay. What a Warrior won the United House Gold Cup at Ascot and did it in warrior-like fashion. Was very, very determined from the front. A gritty display.
Yeah, it certainly was. The time was... it wasn't a bad time because I thought it looked pretty hard work for him. It was good to soft in places, but it did look a bit... one or two of them made very hard work of it, didn't they? And he did it really well, What a Warrior. I think it did help that he had a fairly light weight on his back. Beating his old mentor, Paul Nicholls there, Dan Skelton. That'll have put a smile on his face. What a Warrior. Don't know where to go next. The suspicion that he might be better going the other way around, left-handed, might be in the Hennessy, might he?
Yeah, perhaps.
So, yeah.
Okay, and Zakandar also won over in
France.
Hoy for Paul Nicholls, beat Jemix, and in hindsight, 16-5 looks a silly price.
And the other one we should mention is probably the most impressive visually winner of the day, was sign of a victory in the William Hill Handicap Hurdle.
Absolutely.
In a very quick time, without breaking sweat.
Mm. It was bloodless, wasn't it? It really
absolutely.
You're waiting for the button to be pressed. It just never had to.
No.
It had never had to be. And quite a taking effort from the Henderson inmate, and that's one
and very impressive.
Sure people
would
be
very impressive on the clock.
Yes.
Well. Yeah. So
absolutely.
Yeah, good day on Saturday.
Definitely. And it should be a pretty good day on a Monday. Sometimes Monday's racing can be a little bit drab, but there's some good jumping action at Kempton. And we're going to preview
some
three
very
races
interesting
there.
Runners there.
There are indeed. We're going to start with the 205. It's a novices limited handicap chase. Now, these can often be a little bit tricky to solve, but, well, the five runners make you think perhaps this one will be easy to solve, but you can give a chance to all five of them.
Yeah.
Where on earth are we going to start here, Mick?
Well, The market will probably be all over Sinbin, who I know we haven't seen for 176 days, but he was last seen in that voided Ludlow contest. I think there was a mix-up at the start. The starter called a false start. The jockeys ignored him, and they were eventually flagged down after about the 12th fence, and the race was subsequently declared void. He was just sort of getting into it then. He'd gone into that on the back of a second at Taunton, and he put his chasing debut run behind him with those next two starts. I just get the feeling the market is going to be very strong with him. Now, whether he's going to be that sort of price, worthy of that of the sort of price he's likely to be, I'm not so sure.
Well, you've got Nicholls charging Sinbin, and then you've got Book Magic for Neil Mulholm with McCoy on board. You'd imagine those two, purely because it is Nicholls and because it's McCoy, are going to take a huge chunk out of the market.
Exactly.
And you look at the ones that you've got left, and they're trained by Bob Buckler, Ali Strong, and Kim Bailey, who are less fashionable.
Absolutely. We'll just touch on Book Magic. He's got AP up for the first time, and he gave Jebri Chambertin a fright at Bangor on his chasing debut in early October, and he can run here off of his last winning hurdling mark. So he's entitled to be prominent in the betting with AP up for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to take a flyer here. I think outside the box a little bit, if you like, by the Boardwalk for Kim Bailey. Jason Maguire, Kim Bailey's go-to man on board. He rode a double for the stable at Uttoxeter the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He's an interesting chasing debut debutant from a potentially lenient mark. He never, ever was going to be a hurdler, this horse. So he's basically got in off of his hurdling mark. And I think he's a very interesting runner. And he could nearly be the forgotten horse of the race from a betting point of view.
Okay.
So I'll take a chance on By the Boardwalk. And he also gets weight off the field.
Mm. Okay, By the Boardwalk then. The pick in the 205. Next up is the 235. It is Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle Series Qualifier. 2 miles and 5 furlongs the trip. 8 runners going to post for this. Let's hope we keep all 8 in, because it has the look of a good race, this.
Brilliant.
One of my favourite horses currently in training runs here, Mick. Can you guess which one it is?
Call the Cops?
No, Utopia de Bord.
Oh, yeah, the mare, yes.
Yeah, she doesn't win often, and she absolutely broke my heart at Aintree last year when leading until the final flight, and then finishing out of the frame at 25-1, or 20-1 returned. But she's tough, she's gritty, and she's got a big ass care off top weight. Interesting to see Daryl Jacob book doesn't often ride for Nicky Henderson.
No, it is an interesting jockey book, and as you say, well, Nick Henderson's got 2 in it with Geraghty on Call the Cops. Mm. Going back to Utopia de Bordes, I remember her, she ran, if I'm not mistaken, at the festival.
Yes, she did. Finished 11th in the in the Potemps Handicap Hurdle behind Fingal Bay, but only beaten 11 lengths.
But it was the year before when I had a massive each way bet on her, and
in the festival.
Yep,
I'll be in the Albert Bartlett,
and she finished 5th
behind At Fisher's Cross.
Exactly, and I'd got 4 places as well.
Nice,
typical.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's twice she's done that now.
Yes, exactly.
She's not my favourite horse anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we'll start with Brother Brian, who he may have more to offer in this only his second season. He went up £7 for his grade to win at Cheltenham at the April meeting. But that race, you'll have a look back through that race and see what that's thrown up, including the Romford Pele, who has, he's made himself up into a very useful chaser now, hasn't he? And so that probably justified that weight's rise. And if Ewan Morrison's got him revved up for his season reappearance, there could, as I say, there could well be the more to come from him for only his second season, and he's still not got many miles on the clock. And I think it was encouraging he ran so well on his race course debut, finishing a close second at Huntingdon back in March, I think it was last year. So the ability to go fresh is there, and I think it's a horse going forward. Call the Cops steps up in grade and trip for this, his handicap debut. And although he was very shrewdly placed to win his 2 novices, he does leave the distinct impression that there's plenty more to come from him, and this is his second season. Barry Geraghty in the saddle for trainer Nicky Henderson, and Henderson's horses at this Kempton meeting always got to be respected. But once again, I'm looking away from what I think will be the front end of the market. And we're just talking about this man just before we came in to do this. Philip Hobbs is in such a vein of form at present that nothing he runs can be discounted. And although the form of his runner in this, Royal Regatta, dripped alarmingly after Christmas, and he was actually pulled up in Brother Brian's Cheltenham winning race. It's worth remembering, Alex, he was in great form this time last year, looking a real prospect, and it could be worth chancing, having eased as well £3 by the handicapper for that disappointing post-Christmas little spell. So, again, looking outside the box a little bit, Royal Regatta to bounce back, and he wouldn't be the first one of the Hobbs team to do that, would he?
Absolutely. Okay, so Royal Regatta in the 2.35. And the final race we're going to look at is the 3.10. It is a graduation chase over an extended 2.5 mile trip. 5 runners going to post, but again, that doesn't make it any easier.
Another absolute little belter of a race.
Interesting to see Anna Cotty, who actually won the first race that we previewed, the 2.05, the novices handicap chase, sort of stepping up and playing with the big boys in this one.
Absolutely. It's again, you wouldn't like to put the fork into any of these. You've got Dickie Johnson riding Anna Cotty for Martin Keithley. And as you say, he likes it round here. And no reason why he shouldn't go well on his seasonal reappearance. Last time he was here, he beat Green Flag on Boxing Day, I think it was. Acquitted himself well next time at the January Cheltenham. And then he wasn't seen again after the festival, was he? When
No, behind O'Fallon's boy in the
that
RSA.
That was in the RSA, yeah. And he's interesting runner, Anacotti, and could well be more to come from him. Bears Affair, course and distance winner. He's good after a break as well, Bears Affair. And he gradually raised his game over fences from grade four to grade one. Wasn't disgraced either in his grade one attempt on his final start. It was at Uttoxeter in that listed Summer Cup in June. And he finished third of 17 before, we mentioned earlier, the Romford Pele. And he's had a little break since then. And he's also a dual winner at Kempton. He won his hurdle race here and he's also won over fences. Plenty of going for him then, isn't there? Bears Affair. Fox Appeal, he should be spot on after his reappearance run at Market Raisin, and he's run well on both of his starts here, won and placed on the two runs, and he looks sure to be involved for Emma Lavelle. So he's another one to go into the mix. He was only beaten five lengths in that Market Raisin contest. He came from off the place that day, looked to have every chance, and just faded into fourth close home. So he's another one to consider. But again, I'm going to look outside the box here and go with Theatre Guide, who we haven't seen for a long time. Last time we saw him was at Cheltenham at the December meeting in 2013. And when he was only just run out of it by Monbeg Dude, who was on a purple patch at the moment. But what you've got to remember is that around this time last year, he finished a close third of 21 behind Trio Delane in the Hennessy Gold Cup. Mm-hmm. And the stable have just recently come off the call list and have noticed, well, I've noticed that Tisadot have been looking well for a while. They needed that winner. I think they've turned the corner now. And I think Theatre Guide might be the forgotten horse of the race, but it's worth remembering that he's very, very effective at this time of year. Mm-hmm. So if they've got him wound up and off of this mark, I think he's going to be a very interesting runner indeed.
Okay.
He was third in the in the Hennessy off 145. His mark jumped a little bit for that, but he is back at least off 149, and that man Daryl Jacob in the saddle.
Absolutely. OK, then. So we're going to start with Theatre Guide there. Can you just spin us through your three picks at Kempton on Monday, Mick?
Hopefully might have a nice nice little priced trio here. We've got By the Boardwalk in the 205 for Jason Maguire and Kim Bailey. Royal Regatta for the deadly duo of Dickie Johnson and Philip Hobbs, and that's in the 235, the Potemps, and in the 310, the Graduation Chase, Theatre Guide for Daryl Jacob and Colin Tizard.
Okay, should be a fantastic day's racing.
Absolutely,
Mick.
I was, as I said, Alex, I was disappointed when I saw the small fields, but every race is a little gem in its own right.
It is indeed. Some fantastic stuff to look forward to on Monday. Join us on William Hill Racing Radio. Thanks very much, Mick, and enjoy the action.
I will do.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.